Today I'm talking with Daniel Fogo, and we're talking about peer-to-peer lending. We're talking about the company he founded, which is RateSetter, and this is a really cool chat, and we're going to have a deep dive into everything that is RateSetter. So Daniel, what is peer-to-peer lending exactly?
In very simple terms, we match investors with borrowers. And by doing that, our objective, of course, is to make sure that we can deliver investors a really good return from an asset class being consumer credit, which is very well established, has been around for many decades, but has historically been the domain of just a relatively small number of institutional investors, primarily banks. So we're looking to crack open that asset class and give retail investors, mum and dad investors, millennial investors access to the really attractive returns that asset class delivers.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's like you've harnessed technology, much like the Ubers, the Airbnbs of the world, to remove one of the big middle chunks of middleman, middle person. And in this scenario, it's the bank. So you're matching people like myself who want to invest in fairly, I guess, defensive assets with people who want to also borrow money, maybe not from a bank.
That's absolutely right. It's a very good description. We do use a marketplace model, so we have many different investors funding many different borrowers. And yes, we are providing an alternative to a bank model. And the way we can offer better value to our investors and better value to our borrowers is by using technology to take out a lot of the cost. So our objective, of course, is to attract good borrowers who could otherwise go to a bank to get a loan. But if they come to RateSetter, we can pass on the fact that we've got lower costs, we don't have a branch network, so that they can get a better rate. And similarly, for an investor, I guess what people have at the moment is an option to put money in a term deposit or a bank account, or they can invest in bank shares. Now, under both scenarios, that money is often used to invest in the exact same loans that we're funding. We're just looking to do that in a more efficient way, so that the investor is getting more of the return that end borrower is actually paying.
So you started RateSetter 7 years ago?
That's right. In 2013, I was a banker by trade.
Oh, really?
Some time ago.
Oh, stop the podcast.
I saw firsthand.
I didn't know that.
I saw firsthand how inefficient the banking model was.
Sure.
And we were lending money at where I was at, latterly at Barclays Capital, to large corporates, and they were paying relatively high rates, much higher than what they're getting in a term deposit. They're paying high fees up front. I was sitting on global credit committee calls that, you know, took a lot of resource and a lot of time, and you could just see the inefficiencies there. So I went to Europe and spent 3 months meeting lots of different businesses where I thought that technology could play a role to bring in efficiencies. And during that journey, I met RateSetter, which had set up in the UK at that stage, and met the founders there. And what was meant to be a one-hour meeting went for 4 hours. They explained their model, how they had sort of reinvented marketplace lending, if you like, and I'll sort of explain that.
Yeah.
And I explained the characteristics of the banking market in Australia, namely that it was relatively or very concentrated, that actually borrowers had relatively little choice and were paying really high rates. Investors weren't getting people putting money in deposits weren't getting a great return. So a really large spread there, much higher than the UK. And when we put their model together with the market characteristics in Australia, to both of us, it seemed like a bit of a no-brainer to start on the journey of bringing the model to Australia.
Wow. And then so you started RateSetter Australia, and you've slowly built it up, and I think you've got over 17,000 investors now.
That's exactly right. We sort of launched it as, you might say, a joint venture. They took a stake in the local business. I attracted a senior management team very early on, and we went on the course about building what we want to be and what is becoming a very large financial services business in Australia. We want to be the largest manager of consumer credit, if you call it that. The first phase was getting our licenses with the regulator, ASIC, and so that was a two-year journey. So I used to have a lot more hair and look a lot younger than I do now. But we successfully got our licenses at the back end of 2014 and started lending. And basically since that time, month after month, we've continually grown the amount of lending we do every month, and it's been a very successful story to date.
Now, for full disclosure, I've recently set up my own RateSetter account because I want to just have a turn and experience how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I like about what you've done is you haven't made the RateSetter product just for individual ownership. So the cool thing is, coming from a financial planning background, what if I want my superannuation fund to invest in the portfolio? What if I want my trust? So I've put an application in for my trust, okay? So there's so much flexibility, and we will get into that.
Mm.
But I just want to set the scene with, I guess, the investing spectrum. And cash is a very secure investment. In fact, up to 250K in a bank account in Australia is backed by the government. You might then move up the risk spectrum. Government bonds, pretty risky, but mm-hmm. you know, government can collapse. But I guess cash can disappear if the government collapses. But I guess you're kind of sitting, like, if we shoot back up to shares, you're not shares, but you're not cash. It's this peer-to-peer lending. And how do we just address the volatility, the risk, the return discussion?
Sure. Okay. I think you covered a couple
that was
of things.
Big preamble.
Yeah. I can absolutely talk about risk, but I think you started talking about the types of investors that can participate, and I think that's an important point. What we're really trying to do is democratize finance. It's a very grand term, but
make finance great again.
Make finance great again. We want to give everybody access to the credit or the underlying returns that we can provide access to, not just institutional investors, not just the traditional funders of this asset class. So we do allow mum and dad investors to participate. We allow trusts. We actually have some fixed income funds. We have SMSFs. We have the government's Clean Energy Finance Corporation, which is a renewable energy focused fund that the government established, investing in our loans. So yes, very, very broad set of investors, and we are seeking to make sure that we provide a really attractive middle ground between, you know, a government guaranteed, you know, amount of money in the bank and a relatively volatile share market. So, and part of that is just around the underlying risk profile of the investment. And secondly, it's a little bit around term as well. So what we like to do is provide, a bank account is really about, it's not an investment as such, and that the returns at the moment are typically sub-inflationary once you take into account tax. Bank accounts are really about convenience. Shares can make a lot of sense, but typically for the longer term, because you don't really know where the share market's going to be in 6 months or 12 months or 24 months. From a term perspective, what we want to provide investors is a good place to put their money for 6 months to 5 years. So we like to sit in the middle of that risk spectrum where we think we can give investors a really good risk-adjusted return, but also provide something that works as a term-based investment.
Yeah, it's so funny. I'm in such conflict because I've been quite vocal, I am quite vocal, that consumer debt is so bad because you just don't need it. You know, save up, buy the car, or save up, buy the lounge, save up, buy the holiday. However, there are times where someone wants to clean up their finances, and that might mean that they owe $5,000-$6,000 more on their car than what it's worth. And it might mean that they have to sell that car, maybe use RateSetter to get some short-term finance, and then, you know, rebuild their financial life. So as much as I hate personal loans and, you know, consumer debt, yeah, I want to get rid of all debt in Australia like this. But the fact is, it's never going to happen. So there will always be people that want to borrow money. And it's a mindset thing as well. Like, some people don't have a problem with borrowing money to go on a holiday. That's fine. Knock yourself out. I've got a problem. But having said that, it gives us options as an investor to invest and to put money into that pool of money to get a pretty stable return.
That's right.
With risk less than shares and more than cash.
That's right, more than a term deposit, yeah. So I think the way we'd articulate it is I think consumer credit's an important asset class, and that if you do want to buy a car, it might actually make sense if you can't afford to pay it with cash to take a loan out to fund that car, because you might need it to get to work, which is your livelihood. So there are scenarios where, you know, taking a loan makes sense. Another example might be say, a homeowner wanting to put solar panels on their roof so that they actually reduce their power bill every month. And typically, they'll reduce their power bill more than what they have to repay in finance. And at the end of the loan term, they'll own the equipment and they'll continue to benefit.
Sure.
So their budget improves every month, if you like, plus they're helping the environment. So I think that, you know, we are seeking to lend to people where the loan purpose is sensible and appropriate. And then to talk about the risk component, I think that's really important because, yes, there are lots of different people you can be lending to in any market. And there are those that can't get loans from, you know, traditional finance organizations like banks that we don't want to be lending to. And there are those that can get loans from those organizations, but they're just shopping around for a better rate.
You know, it's funny, like, it's very interesting. Like, it's almost, if you've been horrendous with your money the last 5 years or whatever, and you want to actually make a change, and we'll use the example that I've just used before, that I need some short-term finance to piss the car off that I can't afford and buy a little beater or whatever and then get rid of debt. But if you've had a horrendous track record, you might not be able to get a personal loan from a bank traditionally just to clean up your mess.
That's absolutely right. We're now in a world in Australia where all of your repayment history is recorded and reported to credit bureaus. So it's really important to make sure you don't get yourself in a mess and that you're responsible when you are taking out finance. So we only fund about 10% of the people who come to us for a loan.
Really?
So, I mean, most people are quite surprised about that. We have various requirements, from age requirements to income requirements. Some of those are regulatory requirements. Some of those are our own requirements from a credit perspective. We take the responsibility of managing credit for investors very seriously. So we only want to be lending to those people who can repay. That said, that doesn't mean we don't ever have any loans default, because people's life circumstances can change. But the focus for us is really making sure we're only funding borrowers who are responsible and can afford the loan that they're taking. We also do one other thing, which is really interesting, and I think this is core to the rate setter model. I talked briefly about the UK when they explained their model as being reasonably unique. How rate setter's model works is that for every borrower who takes out a loan, we provision for losses. So either as an upfront component of a fee component for their loan, or as part of their interest rate, they pay some money, not to us as the operator, but into a fund we call our provision fund. That sits separate to our business, and it is there for the sole purpose of compensating investors from any late payments and default. And that's what it does, is it means that it's a much more stable return for investors. They can have much more confidence that they will get every amount of interest and principal due to them over time, because that's our track record to date. We try to reinforce that by being very transparent around who we lend to. So we were the first sort of non-securitization lender to release our loan book publicly every quarter. We allow investors to see how much money is in our provision fund. We allow them to see what the expected losses are at any one time. We allow them to see by annual cohort how many loans we funded, what we thought the loss rate would be, what it's actually been, how much we provisioned to cover those losses. So the great news is every investor's got every amount of interest and principal due to them, and that's really our ambition on a through-the-cycle basis.
So moving on to the actual investor part, and I think more so, you know, the people who listen to My Millennial Money, we're really good with our money and we'd like to invest our money. So this is the part we're talking about, you know, the investing part, because a lot of people, they want to park their money for maybe 3 years, but are getting killed by 1-2% interest rates.
That's right.
Okay, like it's highway robbery out there. So if we talk about the investor, the product itself, Rate Setter, if I can, and I might butcher it, so let me know, I'll try and explain this. If I had a managed fund over here that had 10 companies in it, all producing income and shares, I would own a portion of that managed fund.
Yes.
Rate Setter, there is a similar type unit trust structure that I effectively pay into, and the return that I get isn't a dividend like a CBA loan or Woolworths dividend for selling lots of groceries. It's the interest that borrowers have had to pay into the pool to borrow money.
Very close, but sure. It's the interest specifically on the loans that you funded.
Sure.
So your investment is kept entirely distinct from all other investors.
Okay, so it's not pooled.
It's not pooled, okay. No. Cool. Now, where the pooling comes in is that every borrower pays into our provision fund, and you as an investor get the benefit of all borrowers who have paid into that provision fund over time. So there's a pooling of risk in that regard. But the great news is you have very specific entitlements to the loans that
you've
funded.
Have you ever done any like cool promos? It's like, here's Glenn, he helped fund someone's solar panels and we meet the two people and have a cool little promo.
We got quite excited when our first borrower was funded because we knew exactly who had funded them. But over time, actually, our average investor has exposure to, you know, over 100 loans. So, but that community aspect of it is fantastic. But we have to be very careful around privacy. So you as the borrower don't know who funded your loans. And similarly, as an investor, you get clarity or granularity, if you'd like it, around the loans you funded, the repayment schedule, whether the payment's being made on time, but you don't know who the end borrower is.
Yeah. So if we open the hood of rates that are at the moment, who would you say is the most typical investor? What's the profile or the avatar, if there is one?
Great question. Really, I think you can split investors into two different audiences. The first is a millennial audience. You know, it is people who are, and you can even divide that into sort of subcategories if you like. We have a lot of people who are investing for their first time. We let people start to invest from $10, so a very low threshold. But really, it's you know, a lot of people are millennials. It's an easy investment option for them. It is that middle ground between cash and shares. We often have people who might be saving for a home and they want somewhere to put their money in where they know that they can access it at, you know, within a reasonable time frame.
Yeah. For those who are using, who are saving for their first home, and you might have capped out your first home super saver scheme, you may have capped that out. You might use RateSetter for the balance of that, or that super saver scheme, there has been issues when people know that they want to buy at an auction, or if it's in a hot market, that super saver scheme isn't fantastic for auction buying. So with RateSetter, like, what if someone commits to a 2-year term or a 6-month term, what type of notice period do RateSetter need at the end of that term, or does the money just get spat out at the end of the term?
So we let people invest for different terms. So one can invest in our 1-month market, our 3-year market, or our 5-year lending market. So how that works is if you're in our 5-year lending market, what that actually means is you're funding loans 5 years in term. So you do get monthly repayments of interest and principal, and you can automatically reinvest some of those accounts.
I'm just on your website at the moment. Mm-hmm. Nice website. You're a good designer, you are. I bet you did that, didn't you?
I don't think I can take too much credit for that.
So 5-year term at the moment after all fees,
yes.
7.9%.
That's right.
You know, that's the best part of 8% where I'm from. And 3 years, 3.1%.
3 years is a bit lower than usual. It's typically hovering around 6%. And the 1 month market at the moment will be just over 3%. Is that right? The annualized rates. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's right. Typically, if one's investing for a longer period of time, there's a higher return. What we do offer, though, for the 3 and 5 year lending markets is what we call an early access feature. So you can get your money out early, assuming that there's other investors to replace your investment in the loans. We charge a small fee to do that, and it equates to, you know, a few months of interest, basically. So that's a really popular feature, and what it does is give a lot of people comfort that they're not locked in for term.
Now, you talked about before, and apologies, like all these questions, you know, I've done some heavy research and you haven't seen any of these questions before. So
that's right.
You're sitting here, you know, just talking off the bat. The National Clean Energy, 6.3%. So what is that, the thing you were talking about before, like the government's thing?
Yes. So I talked about our term markets of 1 month, 3 years, 5 years. We also have two other lending markets. Basically, very early on in our existence, we identified we want to focus on good credit, the consumer loan categories. And two of those are, automotive loans, which we've done a fair amount of over time. One of our shareholders is Car Sales, the listed $3 billion listed automotive company. And the second is renewable energy. So we set about building our renewable energy lending business about 2.5 years ago. We partner with all sorts of businesses, including, funding the likes of Powerwall batteries with Tesla. And as part of that, we set up very specific lending markets. So investors could choose, if they had an impact mandate or really wanted to help the environment, to fund just those renewable energy loans. And that's exactly what this represents. If you're lending into those markets, you could be funding up to 7 years. And that's because sometimes the repayment period for a solar system or battery system might be 7 years. But it's a great market because, A, they're generally homeowners. B, they're typically improving their monthly cash flows. And that's attracted a slightly different investor audience. And that's mostly been funded to date by the government's Clean Energy Finance Corporation and Future Super, the fossil-free focused superannuation fund, is another large funder in those markets.
So question, if I did want to put solar panels on my house, and the reason I haven't is because, well, it might be an investment property in a couple of years.
Right.
But then again, do I want solar on the investment property that would be more appealing to tenants, blah, blah, blah. What type of rate would it be if I did borrow money for solar panels?
So if you're in...
Like, what's the criteria for me?
So the criteria is quite straightforward. A, you're a homeowner.
Yeah.
That helps. B, you're improving your cash flows by putting solar panels on. So that helps. So actually underwriting a loan is a relatively straightforward process in that regard. We do the usual process of making sure that we can identify you, checking your credit score.
Okay, so you will run you'll sweep like the bureaus like Equifax or Experian or whatever.
We will use Equifax at a minimum and understand your credit history. We'll ask for some information from you so we can underwrite your loan appropriately. We will review your payslips and or bank statements to make sure that, your expenses and income are what you say they are.
So it's not really the Wild West.
It's absolutely not the Wild West, no. Yeah. Reasonably traditional underwriting processes, but we do use technology to make it really easy from your perspective and really easy from our perspective as well, so it's fast and efficient. You could be approved for your loan within an hour. We will also have relationships with the installer company that's going about and installing the equipment so that we pay the installer directly rather than paying you.
Do you know how much it would cost to put solar panels on a townhouse?
Well, it depends on the size of the system. But
this podcast scored My Millennial Money, so it's about me. Yeah.
It's actually surprisingly, it's really come down a lot in recent years. So you're looking at $5,000 or $6,000. That's all. And the interest rate you get, if the governments or the investors are currently getting a return of 6.5%, by the time you're borrowing, it's actually very competitive. Your base interest rate will be just over 7%.
Yeah.
There'll be an upfront fee to us, and the comparison rate will, be around, just over 8%.
So it's cheap. It's like it leaves a personal loan for dead all day long.
It does. This is still a personal loan. Yes. It's just for a very specific purpose.
Yes.
If you're in South Australia where we're running
traditional personal loan.
That's right, yeah. And look, that's reflected in the credit characteristics of those people purchasing this sort of equipment. If you're in South Australia, we're running a program down there where we're administering $100 million of subsidies for the South Australian government to help people buy home batteries. And we're also, we've got a $100 million commitment from the government's Clean Energy Finance Corporation to fund that equipment. So the rate there is even lower.
For our South Australian listeners.
Exactly.
If you're hearing this, you've got power.
Yes.
No, thanks for that little deviation because, just very interested. And it's funny because when we were emailing, Rosie here from Rates, she's in the room with us, when we were emailing last week, somebody in the Facebook group put a question up about RateSetter. And all of a sudden I was like, what have you been talking to? I'm organizing an interview with them. Did they put you up to this? It was just a coincidence. So I said, I'm interviewing them next week. So
Very good timing.
So yeah. So for an investor, anything else you want to really drive home? Because I want to then move in and ask you about the platform itself.
Look, I think, we really stand by our track record. Our ambition is to, to become the largest manager of consumer credit. We want to provide retail investors access to this asset class. We're very transparent around what we're doing. We're looking to improve the shape of the financial system, improve outcomes for investors, improve outcomes for borrowers. We would really encourage people to just take the time to learn a little bit more about what we're doing. We've got a lot of information on our website that explains, some of the things we've discussed.
Yeah, and I've got the website up in front of me, and it's really clean, easy to understand. You've won every award that Canstar ever has made. how does it work in its simplest way?
So we seek to make the process of investing as simple as possible. As we said, you can start with $10. Opening an account is very straightforward. One just needs to be identified through the usual processes of opening any account to make sure we fulfill our KYC processes. One then transfers money onto the platform, and it's quite straightforward then to invest in loans. We let you choose the specific term you want to invest for and the amount you want to invest. And then we've got a platform that, you know, in a very simplistic terms, matches our investors to our borrowers. And as an investor, you have tools to make that fast and simple, so you don't have to apply a lot of time and thinking to it. Or if you really want to get under the hood, you can understand exactly how much money is there to invest in loans at different rates, the demand coming from borrowers. And so we have all types of investors, some who just set and forget, set reinvestment settings so that they know that the money is continually earning interest. And we have some investors who really get into the detail, log on every day, do a lot of their own analysis, and we have, you know, both types. I sort of talked a little bit about the millennial investors earlier. We also have a lot of sort of people who are managing a portfolio, and they like this as being a part of their portfolio being invested in our platform. The average SMSF investment, for example, is about $100,000.
Oh, wow. And so it's got a good usable app that I can get.
We are introducing an app early next year.
Okay, great.
We've just going through a process of modernizing a lot of the investor experience. It's pretty good. It's pretty straightforward. It's very understandable, very much, you know, a marketplace. You can actually see that functionality. But wait for the next 2 months and we've got some exciting improvements.
Great. And I will go back to, like, you know, we talked about rates before. So if I'm getting 1%, so if inflation or CPI is 1.5%, it's costing me 1% a year. So you've got to always factor in inflation to your returns.
That's right. And that's why I sort of talked about bank accounts really being about convenience.
Yes.
They're not really a way to build wealth. And what we're looking at here is an option that investors have to build their wealth for the shorter term or medium term.
I guess, you know, we've talked a lot about RateSetter, and I'm just excited about this. Just, I don't know, I just think it's cool, you know, sue me, whatever. Am I allowed to think something's cool? I just love what you're doing with the renewable energy thing. So if you do want to park money for a home deposit for 3 years and you don't want some dirty cold mitts to get your hands on it, at least you know you can park it in a place that's going to have better than market returns. And I mean by market as in cash rate at the bank. Yes, you've taken on some risk because it's not a freaking bank account. Address that. But it could be a win-win for people, genuine win-win.
That's right. What I'm saying. That's what we're really seeking to do. Our platform's about delivering value as we touched on. And, you know, the people who are buying this equipment are generally a very good risk profile, and then you've got the provision fund sitting there helping to protect your investment. So we think it makes sense.
Yeah. So what I'll do in the show notes, I'll put a link to the RateSetter website.
And look, we're also running a special for your listeners where they can register at ratesetter.com.au/millennial. And if they invest before the 30th of November and they invest $100, they can get $20 put into their account.
Ah.
So that's a nice special
Very nice. Well, I'll just put that link. I'll put that link in the show notes.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, that's cool. Love it.
We would that when one is visiting our website, you can also see our PDS, and we'd encourage investors to read the PDS and also the risk section, as we sort of touched on earlier. We're not a bank. When you do invest with us, you're not covered by the government's claim scheme.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is have investors make informed decisions, and that's why we have a lot of information so people can make informed decisions.
Yeah. So if the freaking world ends and the zombies come and we're wearing helmets and shotguns and fuel canisters and you've got freaking $5,000 with RateSetter, don't come and say Glenn told me to do it because back off, I didn't.
We'd like to think we'd be performing quite well in that environment relative to a lot of other investments, but that's right.
It is time to wrap that up, but I really appreciate somebody of your caliber, you know, the founder, the CEO of RateSetter Australia. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your platform. And yeah, if I'm just all in anything in this life, it's got to be a genuine win-win for me to do it. And I think there could be some options here for people to have a genuine win-win.
That's right. On both sides of our marketplace, there's options for people.
And I will say as well, this is not financial advice. This is not Glenn James telling you to do this. If you want financial advice from me, you will get a statement of advice and you'll have to pay me $3,000. So not financial advice.
Really good to meet you. Fantastic to speak with your audience.
And look out for the link in the show notes, people.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Bye. If you are after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. But if you do want somebody to talk to, jump onto sortyourmoneyout.com and click on Get Help, and I'll be able to put you in touch with an advisor or a mortgage broker who can actually sit down with you or have a Skype or a Zoom meeting and really work out what you need based on your own personal circumstances.
My Millennial Money supports A21. A21 is a non-profit organization that exists to abolish slavery everywhere. These guys rescue real people from human trafficking across the world. If you want to learn more about how you can contribute to the fight against human trafficking, check out a21.org/AU.
Remember, we hang out on Insta at My Millennial Money. If you're a regular listener, you're welcome to join our Facebook group. If you want more money hacks, be sure to subscribe to My Millennial Money Express. It's short money hacks, anywhere, anytime, right into your ears.